like to welcome you tonight to our program and also to our midweek service here at Calvary Independent Baptist Church. And at this time, we're going to have Dr. Anderson come, and he's going to give us a testimony.
I'd like to start this evening by reading a verse out of the Bible in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I'm privileged this evening to be able to give my testimony of how God the Father drew me towards the Lord Jesus Christ and saved me. It actually started beginning when I was in high school. I was interested in sciences, and I studied a lot of math, chemistry, and physics, and enjoyed that quite a bit. And there were certain principles and certain order of things that was learned in those sciences. But there were also some inconsistencies I found, and it somewhat confused me. One thing that never made sense to me was two separate principles I learned in two different fields. The first one was the theory of evolution. We were taught that over millions and millions of years, we had evolved from small creatures. Maybe it was an ape, maybe it was a bird, maybe it was a fish that decided one day to crawl out of the ocean and become on land. And then teachers would even go so far as to tell us that we evolved from one small organism that suddenly appeared one day when the universe exploded. And out of all of that came this one organism through which we evolved. That kind of astounded me. It didn't seem to make sense. I enjoyed math and I enjoyed statistics. And I thought, this is pretty troubling, because what are the odds of this occurring? Was it one in a billion? Or one in a trillion, like our national debt? Or was it even more or less likely to occur than that? Well, at that point, I didn't think that that was very likely based upon common sense. And there was one other law or principle in science that I learned in that high school education that seemed to contradict the theory of evolution. That was something I learned in chemistry and also was in physics. A law in science is something that never changes. It's always present throughout life, and it's something that everybody depends upon. And the law I'm talking about in this particular case was the second law of thermodynamics. This is a law that stated, basically, that all systems will tend toward the most mathematically probable state and eventually become totally random and disorganized. In other words, basically it says everything that's organized will become disorganized. All science obeys that rule. And even Albert Einstein declared it to be the one law that he felt could never be eliminated. This seemed to me to contradict the theory of evolution quite dramatically, in that the theory of evolution says all organisms are evolving to be more adaptable to things and to become more organized so that they can survive, where the theory of second law of thermodynamics, or that law, says just the opposite. Well, I was 16 or 17 then, and I was confused, and so I pretty much decided that life really isn't all that great, and then you just die. Well, I grew older and studied more science. I went to college and majored in chemistry and biology, and then I was able to go on to medical school and learn more science, and finally earn a living helping people get better from their illnesses. But, you know, through all this time, those questions still remained. What was the purpose of my life? And what was I doing here on earth? I still didn't really know at that point. I thought, maybe it's just to help others. Maybe that's the right thing. It makes me feel good, and by my upbringing, I knew that that was the right thing to do. But was that really why I was here on earth? Could there be something else in life that was my purpose? Or was my purpose really just to have a good time and enjoy life and all that it had to offer? You know, I saw lots of other people who had plenty of money, lots of nice houses, and seemed to be enjoying all the pleasures of life. And at least on the outside, they really seem to be enjoying things. And I asked myself, was that all there is? Is that really all that is meant in life? That you enjoy it and then you die? Well, that didn't seem to set well with me at that point. I still didn't necessarily have any definitive conclusion to that question. So I continued, of course, to grow older and still wondered, what was the purpose in my life? What was life all about? Well, eventually I was able to have a family, a wife and two children, and it meant taking, of course, more responsibility with those family members. And then I also, of course, being a physician, work with people, taking care of them primarily by myself many times, and watching them live and then, unfortunately, at times, die. And I would see even people die, of course, as I stood next to their side, being unable to help them any more than I already had. And I continued to wonder, really, what was the purpose in my life and what happens when we die? I think many of you all here tonight have had some of those same thoughts. Some of you have asked those same questions through your life. And at this point, I had gotten old enough. I was 38. I was successful, at least by the world standards. I had a nice house, loving wife, two young children. But there was still something missing. While I was trying to answer the question of the purpose in my life and what it all meant, our oldest daughter was now 4 years old and she needed a school to go to. My wife, while I worked, spent a great deal of time looking at different schools, asking questions of the principals and going to visit places. And after doing so in this area, she found Calvary Christian School. We felt that the school would give our daughter an excellent education, starting out at the K-4 level and going all the way through high school. And that it would also give her a morally sound example to follow along with her upbringing in our house. And at about that same time, we were also attending another church. And to be quite honest, we were really getting nothing out of it. We would go there and sit through the services and basically try and take care of our children while trying to listen to a sermon. And basically just going through the motions that many people do when they go to church and follow some religion that they aren't even sure they understand. Well, my wife, fortunately, by God's grace, participated up at the school and through so was invited to come to the church service here one Sunday morning, right at this church. And while I was working, she got saved that day. She then brought me to the services over the next few weeks. And through those services, I learned how one gets saved, which I had never heard before. At that point, I realized that I had sinned and was a sinner before God. And because of that, I was bound for hell. But I knew from the preaching that I had heard that Jesus had already paid that penalty for me. I knew that he had paid the price that I could never pay. So I learned and I asked the Lord Jesus to save me and forgive me for my sins. I was gloriously saved that day. And that was 4 years ago now. I encourage anyone here that's not saved tonight, this may be your only chance. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I see people who look totally normal one day and they're gone the next. Don't waste a chance. This could be it. I'd like to close by reading one last verse from the Bible. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you.
As we approach the year 2000, let us consider the one who came to this earth some 2,000 years ago. In John 1:14, we read, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This year, some of you will celebrate your first Christmas, while others will celebrate 60, 70, or even 80-plus Christmases. Yet we can get so caught up in our own activities that we can forget who the Lord really is. tonight, would you consider who the baby Jesus really is? He is the revealed Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. He permeates every book in the Bible. He is the Word of God, the Almighty God, and the Lamb of God. Jesus is the theme of the whole Bible.
Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Exodus 12:13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Leviticus 4:32, "And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish." Numbers 21:8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Deuteronomy 18:15, "And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Joshua 5:13-14, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and said unto him, Art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Judges 13:6, "Then the woman came unto her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name." Ruth 4:14, "And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." First Samuel 2:10, "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." 2 Samuel 22:47, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." First Kings 8:23, "And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts." 2 Kings 19:31, "For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." 1 Chronicles 29:12, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." 2 Chronicles 19:7, "Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts." Ezra 9:15, "O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this." Nehemiah 9:6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all the things that are therein, the sea, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Esther 8:6. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Psalm 45:6-7. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy scepter of thy kingdom is the right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Song of Solomon 2:16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
not. Ezekiel 34:11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I even I will go search my sheep and seek them out. Daniel 7:9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him, and called my son out of Egypt. Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be remembered, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Amos 9:11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Obadiah 1:15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. Haggai 2:7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Malachi 3:2. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Thank you.
Thank you. justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
Colossians 1:17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him.
2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
1 Timothy 6:15. Within His time He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom.
Titus 2:13.
Christ looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Philemon 4:6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
James 2:1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons.
1 Peter 2:21, 22, and 24. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was vile found in His mouth, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Thank you.
Shall we?